right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I will tell you more about him momentarily. So yeah, I heard a report last night from California, and the reporter on the street talked about fire crews who have been slaving against the odds, with some of them going for 72 hours straight without stopping. Can you imagine? 3 days without a break as they work and slave and haul hose lines and rescue trapped residents. 72 straight hours, and yet the fires are still at zero containment in some areas, with more of them springing up even as we speak. I'm telling you, these are heroes, by God. They are. So what exactly is a hero? Think about it. What exactly is a hero? It's not a rhetorical question. I suspect that when most people get asked that question, they have two reactions. One is they picture the word definition of hero, like the dictionary definition. But I would also dare say that most folks, when you say, what is a hero, they conjure up an image in their mind, like an image of a person or a character, whether real or fictional, that creates the image that they see in their mind's eye of a hero by way of a mental picture. So yeah, hero by definition, it actually means a person who is admired or idealized for courage, for outstanding achievements, for noble qualities. Often there's someone who rises to an occasion, the right words, the right actions, the right time, for the right reasons, in such a way that makes a difference in the lives of others. Often those words and actions are committed in some selfless kind of manner, with the hero feeling the possibility of backlash or dishonor or even death or injury to himself. Okay, so there's the textbook definition, but how about the imagery? Like, what do you picture? Is there an image that sticks with you? And if so, is it someone straight out of Central Casting? I mean, you know what I mean. Tall, handsome, debonair, good hair, sharp as a tack, smooth with words. Can't take him in a fight. For real. Is that what you picture? Well, that kind of imagery is understandable. But if you get right down to it, heroes often seem to defy that kind of stereotype. I mean, to be sure, there are those who look like recruiting posters, like Pat Tillman. He was a former NFL football star, became an Army Ranger. Ronald Reagan, he was a dashing cowboy movie star, became the President of the United States. But I've also seen just the opposite. I remember this one big old dude in Iraq who looked like the epitome of a dangerous guy who was the first one to hide behind other people in a firefight. He didn't stay on the team much longer either, just saying. Years ago, when I was a young lieutenant, though, in training at Fort Benning, I had a good friend. He was a good friend for just a matter of months as we went through the infantry officer basic course together. But the guy left a lifelong impression on me. His name was Bosco Masukwa, and he was an officer from Malawi, Africa. He wasn't more than about 5'5", couldn't have weighed more than 90 pounds, had a face that always looked like he was smiling even when he wasn't. He looked like a good wind might blow him down, but I saw that guy do more than most guys who were twice his size. Once on a ruck march, I looked over in the darkened night and realized he was carrying the team gear for himself and three other guys without complaining about it. They just kept dumping stuff on him, and instead of complaining, he just took it and carried the equivalent of his body weight for miles until I saw what was happening and made it stop. He was a rock. He never quit. But if you looked at him, he was not the kind of guy you would have pictured doing that kind of thing. I also remember this scrappy little kid that I've known since he was just a nubbin, just a little guy. He was 90 pounds soaking wet, not the top in his class in high school, didn't go off to an Ivy League school. He is now a chief in the Navy SEALs with 20 years of service and multiple combat tours. You see, I believe that most heroes are just ordinary Joes and Janes who stood up when they were needed, and they come in all shapes and sizes, every race and creed. They are not defined by any educational status. They are often considered the least among them, but they generally always have a grit and a character and a heart that sets them apart. If you look at Scripture, you'll find over and over again that God is notorious for choosing the least among us to serve as heroes. David's family, King David, they didn't think for a second that he was the one that Samuel was trying to anoint as a king. They left him out in the field tending the flocks. They had to go get him. But he was God's chosen, and he later slayed the giant Goliath, and he was mighty in battle. Gideon, he was hiding in a wine press trying to avoid the enemy when he was called to leadership. Esther, she was a Jewish woman with no real voice in the king's court, until she was told to speak for such a time as this, and she did so at risk of her own life. Even Jesus, if you get down to him, was a surprise to those who were looking, really looking, for the Messiah. They would say, what good thing can come from Nazareth? Well, even if you don't believe that he was who he said he was, which I do, The fact remains, his very existence, which is documented outside the Bible as having been real, changed the whole world. So why am I saying all this? Well, because right now we're watching on the world stage as this very thing, this idea that heroes come from unexpected places, plays out. We're also, though, and this is the problem, we're watching what happens when a leader is reckless or when a leader is feckless. Reckless leadership and feckless leadership. One of them makes decisions without regard for the outcome. The other can't make decisions because of fear of the outcome. And the apocalypse that we're seeing right now in California are giving us ample evidence of both. There are heroes in the midst of the fire, but some of the leaders that we're seeing, these so-called leaders, are reckless and feckless. Let's break them down for a minute. How about reckless? Reckless leadership puts agendas over people. Reckless leadership sees resources as a tools for their own desires as opposed to being for the greater good. Reckless leadership looks at norms and sees those as being trivial, inconsequential, even frivolous, and is willing to take something meant for one thing and use it for another in order to get what they want for their personal agendas. Classic example, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. Mayor Bass knew that the firemen fight fires, right? She knew that safety and good order are one of the primary functions of government. She knew it. But her reckless leadership thought it was better to use the city of Los Angeles's amazing fire department as a social experiment. So she cut fire department's budget by over $17 million and redesignated many of those funds to the homeless. Mayor Bass also recklessly invoked the need for diversity, equity, and inclusion in the hiring of personnel and proudly announced another glass ceiling when she tapped the city's first LGBTQ woman to lead the LA Fire Department. Because, you know, everyone knows when your house is burning or your life's at risk, you absolutely need to know what skin color or sexual orientation your rescuer has. Well, then add to it all that the reservoirs that feed the fire hydrants were not topped off because Mayor Bass had not ordered their levels checked and refilled prior to a fire season that comes every year. All of this despite the fact that Mayor Bass has a long history of wind-driven fires every year as history to draw from, but she recklessly made decisions that are now fueling the damage caused by massive out-of-control fires that are sweeping Los Angeles. That's reckless. How about this? What's an example of feckless? Well, feckless leadership looks silly and nervous when what is needed is confidence. Feckless leadership cracks jokes at the wrong time, waffles on decision-making, gets mad when somebody doesn't agree. Joe Biden takes the prize for that one. His apologists and his spin doctors will tell you that he's on the winning side of every argument, but the whole world sees what is happening, and they just shake their heads in disbelief. The great city on a hill, America, waffles and wavers in front of other nations who do not have our own best interests in mind. But among all the many instances of Joe Biden's fecklessness, and there have been many, perhaps some of the most galling examples came just in the past few days. As he first went to New Orleans to attend a memorial for the fallen in the terror incidents of New Year's Eve, and he doddered, and then he fell asleep during the ceremony. I mean, really. And then out to California, where he listened to the reports of destruction and people losing their lives and losing property. And after Air Force One shut down the airspace for over an hour, and after hearing the reports and seeing the faces and looking lost as a coot, Joe turned to the press and goes, "But hey, there's some good news. I became a great-grandfather today." Tepid laughs, confused clapping. I mean, what? People are dying and losing everything, and billions will have to be spent to rebuild California, but the president is so uncomfortable with the gravity of the moment that in his fecklessness, he felt the need to lighten the mood by making it all about him and his family. That, my friends, is the epitome of fecklessness. Look, reckless leaders get people killed, and feckless leaders cause more loss from waffling and wavering. But heroes? Heroes come in all sizes. Never underestimate them. They're really more often than not just normal folks who do abnormal things. Things that may surprise even themselves. I mean, don't count out the little guy, right? We need heroes, and we need them every day. And we need them for such a time as this. Reckless and feckless winds up being respectless, if you catch my meaning. But the little guy who says, "Not on my watch," the firefighter who spends 72 hours straight trying to put out the flames, that's the salt of the earth. And we need more of them. Bring us more of them, Lord. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.